In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the day when we remember and celebrate all of the saints of North America. First, there was Pentecost, two Sundays ago, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church, the beginning of the life at one with God. And last week we celebrated All Saints Day, all of the saints from all time, sitting at the right hand of the Father and around him because of Christ having made it possible for us to be saints, having made it possible for us to make our human life into a way of being like God. And today we celebrate all of the saints of North America. In America, Orthodoxy begins in Alaska. Orthodoxy begins amongst the native peoples of Alaska. It is a significant thing. Here, North America, the United States of America, the most technologically advanced nation that has ever existed on the face of the earth, the most individualistic nation that has ever existed, a nation founded on political principles of the absolute independence of every person from every other person, and an agreement that we will have a government that will not restrict the freedom of the individual any more than is absolutely necessary. And when it comes to how God chooses to evangelize this place, he begins with the native peoples of the most distant place in all of the North American continent. This isn't an accident. Back in seminary, I remember one of the questions that plagued people who were going to be priests, especially those who had come from traditional Orthodox backgrounds, ethnic churches, Greek or Russian or Romanian or Bulgarian. How do we evangelize Americans? They believe in individualism. They don't understand most of the things that we try to explain to them. Everything centers on the individual. How do we evangelize Americans? And the problem was that everybody was thinking in terms of ideas. How do we give them a set of explanations so that they will understand Orthodoxy in their minds? But the real evangelization of North America among the Tlingit and Aleutian native peoples in North America didn't begin like that at all. The priests and monks who came to Alaska immediately saw that in native peoples, there is a sense of the connection between our daily lives and the things that we do that make us human beings and the whole way that all of creation, all of the cosmos, becomes a home, a place to live in by the creatures that God has created living according to their nature. And human beings, too, must live according to our nature. There are ways of being human that we can't change. They are about what it means to be a human being in God's world and to be able to have a human home in God's world. We have to live according to the pattern of how a human being lives in this world that God has created. The native peoples understood that. And the Orthodox Christian evangelists, teachers, and preachers that came to them, they understood it. And so when the Orthodox priests and monks heard the religious stories of the native peoples of Alaska, the Upik, Eskimo, and the Tlingit, and the Aleutians, they listened for the meaning behind the stories. The stories involved a sense of all of the animals of God's creation that surrounded having a consciousness of their own, a spirit of their own. They weren't just flesh and blood animals without anything going on inside of them, not for the native peoples. They had stories especially about Raven, who they thought of as having something to do with the beginning of things. And there is a story about Raven when Raven sees the first man. He catches sight of the first man down on the beach. I won't go into all the background story. Raven has something to do with the beginnings of people in this story. But it's not like Genesis. It's a different kind of story. Raven sees the man on the beach, and there's a flash of wings in the face of the new man, and suddenly he is confronted by this large black bird. Very large. Almost as large as himself, it seems like, in the story. And the raven looks at him and tilts his head one way, and tilts his head the other way. If you've ever been looked at by a bird, you'll see that this is the way they do with you. I remember an occasion myself when I was sitting alone very quietly, and the sparrow came down into where I lived and looked at me just in the way that the story describes. And then Raven took one black wing and brushed his beak up over the top of his head like a mask. This is the kind of mask that these native peoples have. You see them when they dance their dances. And under the mask, he became a man. And Raven said to the man, "What are you? I have never seen anything like you." It's a very unusual story. It seems to me that one meaning of this story is that in order to see a human being the way a human being really is, you have to be like a human being yourself. We believe that God became one of us in order to save us, in a way that made it possible for us to continue to live as real human beings. The native peoples talk a lot about what it means to be a real human being. It's very important to them. They know that people can live in ways that are not human, ways that they are not meant to live, ways that won't make a human place to live in God's creation. So they talk a lot about what it means to be a real human being. The Christian faith was taught to them, and it seemed to them that it was wisdom that fit into their understanding of the world. The native peoples of Alaska knew that there is a moral connection between the way we live our lives with other human beings and the reality of the world around us. If we are going to live in a human world, we have to live like real human beings. To confront another person and be able to be surprised, like Raven was surprised, to become more human in order to be able to see another person, that's what it takes. Not to take other people for granted, not to grow up and learn in a wrong way that other people are for me to use. Other people are for me to want to have them do what I want. Other people are not to fulfill my desires, my needs. What are other people for? When we look at another human being and we say, like Raven did with the face of a human being, looking at a human being, what is the mystery that is what you are, who you are? Raven said to the man, "How can you look so much like myself?" But he was saying that with the face of a human being. If we look at other human beings like that, then we can see them for what they are. The mystery in front of us of a real human being. If we don't have that experience, how can we be married to another human being? How can we have another human being for a friend? How can we raise a child without looking into the face of the child and being amazed that here is a real human being? The basics of life as a human being are all about the daily lives that we live. The difficult things that we don't want to do. The difficult things that are demanding of us. Those are not meaningless things. Part of the wisdom of the native peoples is to see that there is a connection between anything that we do that is important to the making of a human home and a human life. The shape of the cosmos, where there is a place that has a home for human beings. It's a basic truth that we are losing consciousness of in an America dominated by technology. People walk around with an iPhone. You go into town and look around and see people all around. They're not looking at each other. They're looking at a little handheld computer. They bump into each other. They think they're in connection with the whole world. And it's as if somebody had taken a little pocket mirror and looked into it. And all they see is themselves. They think they're connected to thousands of people. And all they can see of other people are little masks made out of words of a limited number of letters. Little masks made by other people and sent to them. Advertisements, web pages, dancing pictures, anything to fascinate the eye, completely cut off from the actual world that they are standing in with their own 2 feet. How ridiculous this looks when you think about the realities of life and the importance of being able to see the uniqueness and the mystery that is another human being. If you do not recognize another person, one person after another, more and more people, making them part of your life, what kind of a richness of life are you going to have without that? Part of the wonder of looking into another person's face and wondering, who are you? What are you? You are not me, and yet you are so like me. And then finally you realize, I cannot be myself. I cannot know myself unless I know you. That's part of the mystery of being a real human being. If we are going to have the people of America become Orthodox Christians, it will have to be about the realities of being a real human being in a world that is surrounded by a carnival of electronics and an illusion that each one of us is meant to use all of the rest and make them into some kind of a toy life of our own. There is no way to get around all of the technology except to touch the reality of what it means to be a human being. Father Michael Alexa says that because of the fact that Orthodoxy has become incarnate in the life of the native peoples of Alaska, their fate and what happens to the church in North America are tied together. He says that what happened in Alaska with the conversion of the native peoples of Alaska points out that no matter how the technological world changes, the reality of what it means to be human, that doesn't change. Father Alexa says that in addition to what we call the third world, undeveloped countries that haven't become highly technological and complex. They are not wealthy. They're the third world. They're undeveloped. But there's also the fourth world, the native peoples of all of the places of the earth. Things have been written about it, not just by Father Alexa, but others. The fourth world is all of the native peoples of the world that want to remain what they are, real human beings. They want to not lose who they are. They will use technology, but they will not be used by it. They will not be changed by it. And it seems to me that Orthodox in America, we who are not native peoples, if we are going to survive as human beings in the middle of this electronic carnival, with all of the confusion about how people can just become something that human beings have never been before, by using fashion and design, present myself as some completely different kind of a being. What a carnival. If we're going to continue to live the traditional life of what it means to be a human being, we are in the same situation that the native peoples of the world are in. We have to identify with the daily reality of real human life and not be fascinated with the carnival, the fantasy, the illusion. There is wisdom here that we can learn from human beings that have always simply lived by making a life for their wife, husband, children, family, making a life by taking care of others that we care about, and learning what it has always meant and always will mean to be a real human being. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.